As we jump in this morning, our prayers at the study this morning will encourage some of you to begin to carve out time in God's Word. And I just want to mention to you that this is my Bible. This is a Bible that I use when I'm reading, when I'm studying on my own. You can see that it's already been repaired with some beautiful blue duct tape. Works really well, okay? Haven't used super glue on it yet, but we're getting there. But if you come and look at my Bible and you just thumb through it, you're going to see all kinds of chicken scratch, all kinds of marks, all kinds of things. And what it is the expression of my personal study. And I just want to say this because as we're going through the scripture this morning, all of us in here have this common battle thread. And what it is that beginning to believe that we can open up the Holy Word of God, that we can read the scriptures, that we can begin to learn how to study it, and God can speak to us and God can help guide and direct our lives through our study of the Word, that faith journey is a difficult thing for a lot of us to believe. And then along with that, to begin to believe that we can express our hearts, our souls, our minds, we can talk to God, and that He wants to hear what we think and feel and what we're struggling with, and we call that prayer in the Scripture, those are the two battle lines for most of us. And so I'm hoping that as we just do a simple study this morning, and really the title of the message this morning is real simple, and it's just a real simple thing that I want to remind you of, that God responds to our faith. God responds to faith. And we can do all kinds of things in our lives, and it can seem like, oh, well, we need to go deeper. If you are able to go deeper by faith, then that's exactly where God wants you to be. But the real issue is us learning to trust, rely on, believe, and have faith in God and what God says about us. So as we're studying in Judges, and we're looking at these people that they had the first five books of the Old Testament, but yet their struggle was the same as our struggle. Are they going to act on, this is what the Lord says? Are they going to trust Him and believe that He has great things for them? Or are they going to walk their own way? And we have the same struggle even today. So what I want to say to you this morning, I want you to think about this. And this is what we're going to do this morning. We're just going to go down through the scripture. It's a short chapter. Pastor Chris is going to be covering the whole life of Samson next week. So hang on to your britches. It's going to be a good one. Okay? That we are just going to go down through and look at each verse and go through this morning. But with this in mind, God responds to our faith in the mundane events of our everyday lives. Think about that. Because over half of us this morning, you may acknowledge that God responds to our faith in the mundaneness of everyday life, but you don't really believe that. Because a lot of us, we come from traditions where it's got to be pumped up, it's got to be encouraged, we've got to be built up, we've got to be challenged. And some of us, we come from traditions where between youth camp and then going back home, or between VBS and going back home, or we go to a retreat, or there's an evangelistic rally, that what we believe is we're looking for that spiritual high. Like, I gotta get pumped up. I've gotta get energized. And what it does is it becomes this emotional surge that we put on and we label it as a spiritual experience. And I'm not saying that it can't be, but I think that for a lot of us, we realize that the reality of our faith is expressed in the mundaneness of everyday living. I'm going to throw this out because we're going to be looking at a family this morning. I believe that a lot of the ground that we've lost within church over the last 15 or 20 years is because a lot of our kids have seen the way parents and grandparents live in the mundaneness of everyday. And they don't see a relational dependence on God every day in the mundane things of life. You know what conclusion they draw? It's not that big a deal. I believe that the church, we need to own our part in that process. But it's the mundaneness of everyday life that proclaims a genuine faith. It's in the ups and downs, the mistakes, the dialogue, the interaction, the relationship. So let's just go through. Judges chapter 13, verse 1, I'm going to be reading in the New King James Version. Verse 1, guess what? Guess what? Again, verse 1, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Duh, how many times have we read that so far? It's real easy. It's real easy to look at this group of people and say, goodness gracious, what is up with them? But then I look in the mirror and I'm like, man, better not throw stones. Because we all struggle. And I believe that we're supposed to learn and see and understand how important it is to deal with the pressures around us. Look at what it says. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Let me just give you this observation. I'm just going to point out some focal points, some details. God separated people. They reject him once again and suffer the consequences of their choices. Now, this is a people that had said, had made a vow, God, we're going to follow you. Verse 2. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, notice here that the angel of the Lord asked Manoah's wife to separate herself from certain things because of the impact on the baby in the womb. She had to make a choice to live like a Nazarite, not Samson, who we know about later on, which a lot of us have heard about, Samson to Delilah. It's a pretty common story thread. But his mother, had to make a choice. She had to make a choice personally to live like a Nazarite. She had to keep the Nazarite vows so that her son would be able to do the same. Ladies, please hear my heart, all the ladies in the room this morning. Ladies, you have a powerful impact on those within your sphere of influence. As you seek the Lord and walk in his ways, ladies, please hear me. You make a difference. You always have and you always will. Your pursuit of Jesus, regardless of what's going on around you, you have a sphere of influence and you can make a profound difference. There's some woman within the sound of my voice this morning, some lady that needs to be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't let your guard down. Don't give in. Don't stop pressing into God, because the men and the people around you need you more desperately than you may realize. This whole study of Judges, I'll be honest with you, I've gotten sideswiped. Because what I've consistently seen, the cream of the crop, the top of the heap, the faithful people, I was kind of taken back. Woman after woman after woman, and their level of faithfulness. And even as we're going to see this morning, ladies, you be encouraged because you are an influencer. Now, for the child was a Nazarite from the womb. Now, I just want to point this out. And I want you to just receive this. Somebody here this morning needs to consider this. You need to take special note that God was validating the importance of this little human in the womb, not after labor and delivery. Now, sometimes, let's just be honest, we as human beings, sometimes we get so smart that we become dumb. And for thousands of years, this simple truth has been embraced, and God, the angel of the Lord, is being sent to tell her that what you're doing, the way that you're conducting yourself, this human being in your womb is for real. And it's got a great future. now, not at the point of labor and delivery. And let's just be honest. Let me use this as a point to just encourage some of you. What's happened within our nation and what's happened within the church over the last 15 or 20 years is that we want to, if we come to a difficult passage that puts us in conflict with what we naturally believe or what we want to embrace, or maybe even some of our politics, that what we try to do now is we try to get a different version of the Bible, or we need to try to change the Bible. We need to try to water down the scripture to meet what our expectations are. That's not what being a Christ follower, that's not what being a believer in God is all about. What we are have the privilege of doing is changing, us changing to draw closer to God and be conformed to his thinking, his ideas, his feelings, his emotions. It's not about us trying to change our view of God or what God says. It's about us saying, okay, wow, that made me really uncomfortable. That made me irritated. That made me mad. Can I tell you how many times I study the scripture and it rubs me raw the wrong way? Well, guess what? That's obviously something that I need to dig in and study and understand and say, God, what are you trying to say here? Because this makes no sense to me. And through my pursuit, guess what happens to my faith? My faith is purified. My faith becomes stronger. Let's read on. Verse 6. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, hey, a man of God came to me, and his countenance, his appearance, was like the countenance of the angel of God. It was very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Now, I want to say that many scholars believe that Samson's mother's name has been lost through time. I don't know about your study habits, but I love to read Jewish scholars, and I love to read Jewish history, and I learn a lot because guess what? I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Jew. So I love to get their perspective. I mention that because the Jewish Women's Archive states that the Babylonian rabbis knew Manoah's wife as, I'm probably not going to pronounce this properly because the way it's spelled, but it's Zelophoni. Yeah, you can laugh because that's what I'm thinking right now myself, okay? Or another spelling is Zelophonith, either one. This tradition affiliates her with the tribe of Judah, and I do want to say that either with her name or without her name, she is included among the 23 truly upright and righteous women who came forth from Israel. This is Jewish tradition, Jewish history, saying that Manoah's wife is one of the top 23 truly upright and righteous women from Israel. Now, I want you to just notice that the angel appeared to the woman only. Are you tracking with me so far with the narrative? Okay, verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. Now, I want to mention that God heard Manoah's prayer and responded, but not in the way that Manoah had hoped. Any of us ever have that issue? And so what we wind up getting frustrated with in our faith journey is we reach out to God and God responds, but God didn't respond the way that we wanted. It didn't meet our expectation. And so then we think something's wrong, and yet we overlook the fact that God actually responded to our prayer. He responded to our request. This is what happened with Manoah. The angel appears to his wife and she runs to get Noah. Now notice that it's important to make the instructions and the details explicitly clear to Manoah's wife more than Manoah, because of the importance of Manoah's wife's role in the raising, the caring, and the raising of the son. Are you tracking with me when I said that? So it was more important that she understood what was going on. Now, I got a question for you. Male and female relationships. Did Manoah want to hear it for himself, directly from the man of God before he would believe it. I'm not saying any of us struggle with that. I'm just saying, could that be that that's what was going on with Manoah? Like, she comes and tells him, this is what the man of God says. He's like, God, can you send the guy back again? Because I want to hear it directly from him. Then the angel comes back to her, okay? Then she runs and gets him, and they're talking. Any of us ever struggle with that? Like, yeah, okay, or whatever, but unless I hear it myself, I'm not sure that you're telling me everything. I'm not sure that I can trust you. Okay, I'll read on. Verse 11, so Manoah arose and followed his wife. When they came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? He said, I am. Manoah said, oh, now let your words come to pass. You notice now he's like, okay, now I see the guy with my eyes. He's like, are you the guy? Yeah. Okay, whatever you say goes. Now that I'm here, I can believe what's going on. Okay. Look at this. I'm just trying to tone it down. This whole chapter cracks me up. Because I'm a visual person, this is just hilarious, hilarious narrative. I said, yeah, let it pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? Let that sink in. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, and she may not drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you. And if you don't know, look at some hospitality customs and what it means by detaining you, because in other cultures, there's strong hospitality guidelines and protocols. And please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. And it says in parentheses, for Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. Verse 17, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Let me give you a detail. The angel of the Lord seems to have appeared to Manoah's wife in the camp or the area where they lived, the camp of Dan, but he also appeared to her in the field. So he appears to her in two different places. Track with me because I think that this is some really good information. Notice that Manoah is like many of us in our response to God's instructions for our lives. Think about this. The angel said the same thing twice, but Manoah didn't get enough information. Isn't it funny in our faith journey and our faith struggle? Most of us have a hard time accepting what God gives us because we want more. We want to see further. We want more information. We want more details. We want to know what's going on. Are you tracking with me? And it seems like Manoah, he wanted more details than what was given. He wanted to know how it was going to work out for his son in the years to come. So it's like, here he comes and he's talking about, not, did you notice that he doesn't say, hallelujah, we're going to have a baby boy. No, he goes to like, well, how much money is he going to make? What's his vocation going to be? Is he going to take care of us? Are we going to be able to retire on him? How much are you going to bless him? By the way, what's your name? What's your name? Where are you from? What's going on with you? Can you give me a little background information? I just get this visual picture of Manoah and all that's going on, and he wants more details. He wants more information. He's not getting enough. Notice that Manoah's wife never inquired about the angel of the Lord's name. It even says that. Like, she wasn't worried about that. She received the message, and she was more focused on what he was saying. And I get the impression that Manoah's faith and the faith of his wife might have been on different levels. Just think about that for a minute. Obviously, their personalities are different, but it appears they seem to have different levels of understanding regarding spiritual matters. And you know that most of the time, that's true in friendships, and that's true in marriage relationships. Let's read on. Verse 19, so Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. I just want to point out something. Up to this point, it's already been stated in the scripture, but Manoah did not know that this was an angel sent from God. Now, whether he thought it was a prophet, whether he thought it was some kind of holy man, regardless of what he thought, he knew that this was a man of God. But you can also understand this might have been some of the questions, like, okay, if you are a prophet, what region are you from? He's trying to inquire, but he's trying to get a lot of details. But up to this point, he didn't put together until, and this is a miraculous thing. This makes the conversation undeniably supernatural. So they have this offering, they're creating an offering, it's burning, and then all of a sudden the angel goes up and ascends up into heaven in the flames and the smoke. It's pretty cool. But this is a part, well, I gotta be really careful. Let me just remind you of this. Let me give you notice about this. Notice the holy, reverent response to the realization that this guy's an angel. And I want to say this. This is not me being judgmental. I believe that this is me being discerning. Whenever someone has a genuine encounter with God in any shape, form, or fashion, the result is some type of reverent, fearful response to the greatness of God. And when I meet people that talk a lot about their faith and a lot about their relationship with Jesus, but at some point, I don't see a level of reverence and holiness and this awe or this fear in who God is, I have a question mark. Because from Genesis to Revelation, whenever any of us come into the presence of an angel or anything that's from the Holy One, our natural human response, and look at what they did. They were just like, oh my word, oh my goodness, there was an immediate reverent response. So let's keep reading. Verse 22. And Manoah said to his wife, this is my favorite section here because this takes all my visual imagery and takes it off the charts. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, He would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samuel, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manaea of Dan, which is the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. This is my favorite part because I just literally get this visual picture. Now, I think about Ice Age. I don't know if you like that movie, but I love Sid the Sloth. When they're talking, he goes, I choose life, you know? And I just get this visual picture that all this stuff has been going on. Manoah's asking all these questions. He's wanting to know. I get this picture in my mind that Manoah's kind of all over the place. You know, he's just kind of like, yeah, let me run over here. No, come get me. And he's asking all these questions. And all of a sudden, it's like, that he knows now this is an angel. And he's like, we're going to die. I choose life. I don't want to die. And then I get the picture of his wife just kind of being a steady, strong. And she's like, Manoah, get your stuff together. Let me remind you of a few things. This happened. This happened. This happened. And I don't think that God is going to kill us because he said we're going to have a child. And he's told us what to do. Oh, yeah, okay, good. You get what I'm saying? I love the humanity. I love the reality of relationships here. And in every marriage relationship, every dating relationship, and even friendships, it's amazing how that the differences, the opposites, at any point in time, how we balance each other out. There's times where my wife, you know, you guys know that I'm not very emotional, but there's times where I am extremely emotional and I'm just like, rah! And she's just kind of like, gives me the look. Where is she right now? Is she giving me the look right now? Oh, there she is back there. Yeah. Yeah, now she is. Yeah, exactly. And I'll be like going off and she's just kind of like, and she gives me this look. I'm like, okay, so maybe I'm overreacting. And then she's just kind of like, oh, okay. So I get this picture of Manoah and his wife, and I absolutely love it. I think it is just stinking hilarious about how he's all over the place, and she's just this rock-solid, focused, amazing woman. Now, let me say this. Her faith was not only strong, but think about this. And we just get a view of a few short days. We don't know of anything about Manoah and his wife before. We get a little bit of a glimpse and next week we'll be looking at a little bit of that. But just in a few days, her faith was not only strong, but it had grown stronger. Hear me when I say this. Her faith had grown stronger through the events of the days. She seemed to have a quick response time to trusting God. What's the difference between the two responses to a very similar situation? So Manoah and his wife were both exposed to very similar things. But Manoah's wife made a choice to receive and believe by faith quickly. Now, Manoah heard the same thing, but it seems like it took him a little bit longer to process and believe and receive by faith. Now, let me make a note here. In no shape, form, or fashion am I saying that Manoah didn't have faith. But what I'm trying to point out is we don't all have the same faith at the same level at the same time congruently. And so what some of us come from traditions where if you don't have the exact same type of faith as somebody else at the exact same time, then you don't have faith or you're weak or something's wrong with you. Part of the reason why I'm trying to help us point out the differences here is because when you read the next chapter, you see that Manoah and his wife are both committed. I want to point out to you that Manoah had faith and belief in God. He went to God and said, God, I need you. Would you please send this man of God back? And God responded to him. God listened to his prayer. Manoah had faith. But at this particular point in time, their faiths look different. And here's what I want to say to you. The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be a place that we are trying to encourage faith and we are trying to encourage belief, but we are not all at the same place at the same time on the same level, and we have to extend grace and love and mercy toward one another. We've got people in our midst, and you may not know who they are, but they are actually attending services, and if you were to talk to them, they would say, I don't have faith. I don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life yet. But there's something going on in their hearts and souls, and there's an evaluation process, and what I'm trying to say is we need to be cool with each other in this process of faith because it doesn't look the same time all the time with all of us. And what we're really supposed to do is at different points in time, we're supposed to be like Manoah's wife. We're supposed to say, no, it's okay. It's okay. Look at what God has said. Look at what God is doing. You can ask for forgiveness. You can receive his help. He has a great plan for you. You see the beauty in what she did? She kind of walked him back off the cliff. I see him at the edge of the cliff. We're going to die. And she's like, come on, honey. Back over here. Okay, okay. I guess we're going to be okay. Isn't that what the church we're supposed to be? So I want you to look at it like this. In all the darkness and all the evil that was going on with the Philistine pressure, the Philistine captivity, please hear me. If this doesn't fit our current culture, the majority of the people said in verse 1 that they're doing evil in the sight of the Lord, but not everybody. Manoah and his wife had faith in Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. And God used them to make a drastic impact on the whole nation. You could evaluate and say their faith was not perfect, but whose faith is perfect? Mine's not perfect. My faith is like some of your faith. And there's days where my faith is strong, and then there's days where I'm questioning myself and I'm questioning God. You say, well, Pastor Tim, how can you be a spiritual leader? Well, we have the same question sometimes. But it's part of being a human being. So my application for you this morning is for you to decide. Of the details that we've taken notice of this morning, how will you make application to your own life? How are you going to pursue changes for your life? How will you embrace greater faith because of what we've studied this morning? What changes are you willing to make in the everyday routine of your life to grow your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord? And I just want to say one more time, because I truly believe this with all my heart. The reality of our faith and our ability to pass it on, the genuineness of our faith, is not in a meeting like this. It's not in some conference or some big meeting. The reality of our faith that gets passed on to other people is the faith that's seen in the everyday mundaneness of what we do day in and day out that we wouldn't classify as a big deal. But the mundaneness of everyday life is the biggest deal, especially for those that are closest to us. So you make application today the way that you need to. How are you going to make changes so that you can experience your own faith and be encouraged that you have a growing faith in the mundaneness of everyday life? And how are you going to be able to pass that on to the people that are closest to you? You make the application today. Let's stand and worship together.